Good morning. You're tuned into Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. My name is Brooke Schaefer, and I'm in the studio this morning with two guests, Alex McCarl, who I've had on many times before. She's the research coordinator over at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Alex, thanks for being here. And also, let me turn your mic up there. Also, Brian Ulaski, he is the scientist in residency fellow at the Sitka Sound Science Center for the month of April. Brian, welcome to Sitka. Good to have you here.
Hello, thank you.
Okay, I was a little bit late on the microphones there, but everyone's turned on now, so we can all hear you. Sorry about that. So we're here to talk about you a little bit, Brian, your work and what it is that you're doing here in Sitka. So I guess I will mention for listeners that you're a postdoctoral fellow at UAF, and maybe you can fill us in on what you've been studying there.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. So UAF, I just recently graduated in December, so pretty fresh with that. But I was studying how seaweeds form habitat for intertidal animals when they get, these seaweeds get dislodged from their natural environment in the subtidal, and then, you know, they sometimes can get washed ashore. So when you're walking around these beaches and you see these washed up seaweeds, maybe this stuff isn't just dead and decaying. Well, it is, but it's also providing habitat for a lot of intertidal animals. So a lot of beetles, other bugs, other insects, and potentially higher trophic levels, like seabirds often use this resource as foraging grounds. So that was the gist of my graduate work. But like you mentioned, I'm a postdoctoral researcher at UAF now. And the new project I'll be working on is funded by the Exxon Valdez Oil Spill Trustee Council. And these always have fun acronyms, but it's the Mariculture Recon Project.
Okay.
And the RECON is kind of a shortened version of Research and Restoration Consortium. So a lot of different components to this project, but it's basically this farmer-focused project. So aquaculture farming, so oyster farming and seaweed farming. And as this is kind of a booming industry here in Alaska, well, hopefully booming, but it's on its way. There's a lot of interest. We want to know how these oyster farms, how these structures that are, you know, not naturally suspended in the water, how they influence the environment around them. So I'm a part of the benthic ecology team. So we'll be looking at the seafloor. We'll be doing some diving down there and around these farms and looking at the biological communities on these oyster farm structures, and then also around these farms in general.
It's really interesting. It's it ties to the work that what you studied, in that you kind of study things kind of at an angle, if that makes sense. Like seaweed, you know, we think of, oh, you must study it when it's growing in the water, and, you know, but no, you do it after it like detaches and creates a new environment, and you're kind of looking at the side effects of these environments that are created, what other environments or ecosystems are created.
Yeah, that's a really cool way to look at it, actually. Yeah.
Part of the work that you do, I got to learn before we came on the air, is kind of cool. Like, you dive for some of this work. So I'm wondering if we could talk a little bit about that, because that's so interesting. How did you even get into diving?
Diving. Oh, man. Alex, you know, it's a lot of fun.
We love it.
You dive as well,
yes,
Alex.
Yes, okay. We definitely have dives planned here for his visit in Sitka. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with what kind of diving you do, Brian. Sure.
Yeah, so I grew up in California, so I grew up with these, I think I took it for granted back then, but the beautiful giant kelp forests that I know you also have growing up here. But I, you know, took a aquatic biology course or something, and they're like, if you want to study the marine environment, a great tool to have in your back pocket is scuba diving. And so I took that up, and got my open water certification, like diving around Southern California and the Channel Islands, and most of that was recreational. But then I volunteered as an undergraduate in the what's called the Morea Coral Reef Long-Term Ecological Research Program. And so it's a lot of U.S.-based universities kind of are involved with this, but they have a research station down in an island called Morea, which is just slightly northwest of Tahiti, which I think Tahiti is more recognizable.
Yes.
So there was coral reef diving down there, and funny enough, the project I was working on was looking at seaweeds and coral reefs, and reefs in their interactions with the corals down there. So, yeah, so temperate diving in California, down to tropical diving in Tahiti. And then when I started graduate school, I somehow got on a project while I was studying seaweeds. And yeah, so then there was diving out of Kachemak Bay. So the work was based out of Homer and then the NOAA UAF Kitsitsna Bay Laboratory across the bay there. And not as much, well, there's a lot of bull kelp up there. So the Nereocystis, which is close relative to that giant kelp, Macrocystis. But on its northern range of its distribution, the giant kelp, which I learned to dive in California, there are kind of pockets of it up as far as Kodiak Island. But in general, it's kind of, you know, you don't see it that high up. It's not as common as bull kelp is in its distribution. But just last summer, we saw a forest of Macrocystis growing in Kachemak Bay. And so someone kind of tipped us off. It's like, oh, there's a Macrocystis bed out there. Go check it out. And it's kind of like a celebrity. But yeah, so it was there. And then we went back this summer and we saw this Macrocystis bed there. Maybe am I kind of geeking out about kelp?
I mean, you
Everyone
are.
Loves kelp.
Okay, cool.
It is interesting to hear because it makes probably me and listeners wonder, like, why is it there now? Is there a change? I'm sure it makes scientists wonder about this too. Or is this somewhat normal? But I also would love for you to geek out just a little bit more and let us know, like, what did you see in Kachemak Bay besides this celebrity Macrocystis bed that you thought was really interesting or surprising or just that you loved?
Oh, sure. Well, the first thought that comes to mind is, I think it was my first or second dive in Kachemak Bay, and we're doing reproductive surveys for bull kelp. So, you know, they're blades that are floating at the surface of the water, the sori on there, and we're just basically getting a reproductive density. How many of these individuals are reproductive?
Okay.
That was the gist of it. But so yeah, we're swimming at the surface, and you know, we have these clipboards, we're just writing things down. And then again, we're at the surface, so the water's probably like 20, 30 feet deep, but this was March or April, so the water was pretty clear. And I remove my clipboard. So I'm looking down at my clipboard. I move my clipboard. I see past the clipboard. And then there's a stellar sea lion just staring right up at me. And it freaked me out.
Sure.
I wasn't expecting it to be there. But that was just a memorable, like, well, this is, I love diving here. This
totally
is awesome.
Amazing.
We're in kelp forests. There are stellar sea lions.
Yeah. Kind
this
of intimidating.
Great.
They're huge, but
also
like amazing that you can be there with them.
Yeah. I'm futzing around for my GoPro and then by the time I get it, it's gone.
Oh, how cool. How magical.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, as you mentioned, there are going to be a bunch of events for listeners to be a part of. One of them will be a snorkeling event. So let's talk about that. Maybe you can tell us some of the things that are coming up that people can get involved in.
Yeah. So on Friday, April 21st, we're doing a community snorkel event led by our naturalist, Brian, and that will be in the morning for the tides at 8:30, and we will provide all the gear, and we are going to explore our beautiful Magic Island, one of our most favorite snorkel areas.
And maybe see sea lions there.
Who knows? I've seen them before.
Cool.
And then that same day at 1 p.m.
Oh, sorry, quickly. Is that free, or do people pay
for
that?
It is free, and
okay.
We also have all the gear.
Great.
So just show up with a towel and a swimsuit.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Registration info will be announced soon.
Okay.
And then that same day at 1 p.m., we have our classic Earth Day Parade of Species. That's a really fun, filled with activities like face painting. We dress up as our favorite sea critters, and that will be at the Science Center and the SJ campus.
Great.
And then finally, we have our natural history seminar, UAS, on Thursday, April 27th at 7 p.m., also free.
Wonderful. A bunch of free events. And I know we were going to chat a little bit about what the seminar was going to be that you're going to be giving, Brian, but we're out of time. So instead, I'll ask you both to share your contact information in case people have questions, want to get involved or reach out to either of you. So Alex, maybe the contact information for you?
Yeah, you can reach me at amccarrel@sitkascience.org.
And then Brian, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me through my email, which is bpulaski, U-L-A-S-K-I, 2@alaska.edu.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Brian and Alex, for being here this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.
KCAW receives support from LFS Marine Supplies. LFS's retail store is located at 475 Catlian Street. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Saturday, closed on Sundays.